Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The Therapy is a Christian podcast is all things mental health and Christ. We specifically talk about how mental health and God are merged together to foster growth, healing, and making mental health a normal conversation. I'm your host, Rosin Renee, and welcome to the show. Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Therapy as a Christian podcast. I am your host, Rosa Renee. Welcome to another episode of the show. I am super excited about this week's episode in that I will be interviewing my sister. And y'all know we recorded this podcast before it got messed up, child. We're not even going to go there. But I am not going to give a super long intro. I just want to tell you a little bit about my sis, Felicia. We met at the Find Your Voice Academy retreat in DC back in November 2019, and we have just become so close in a short span of time. And I am super excited about her message that she's going to share today. She is super authentic, super transparent, super, super, super about the Lord and His heart. And so I just am really excited about the topic we're going to talk about, because I really think it's going to break just a lot of perspectives as it relates to relationships with God. And so, Felicia, say
yes. Hey.
We're recording via Zoom, so we get to see each other while we're recording. So it's also like we're trying not to laugh so much.
Eels.
Okay, so Felicia, we don't have to go on a super long spiel about us, but definitely tell the people who you are and your heart, sis.
Cool. So my name is Felicia. I am a daughter, right? Like, my daddy is the creator of all creations. I began to know him as dad in my walk with him, and it was a very intimate time. It was a very trying time, and it was a very sacred time. It was a very sacred time. And so I am Felicia. I do not have children. I am a daughter. I am a sister. I am a friend. I hope I'm a friend. I hope I'm a friend, girl.
You're a good friend.
I hope I'm a friend. My heart is definitely for the people. My heart is for seeing people free. And my heart is for relationship with all people. I don't discriminate. I don't care if you tall, dark, skinny, yellow, fat, black, brown, blue, green, purple, whatever, man, female, whatever that even looks like. I love relationship, and I love seeing God's people free. And in all honesty, I love to hold hands with people and walk out relationship with them and helping them, or hoping to help them or inspire them to grow deeper in relationship with our Father. So that's me.
Yes. And she does a very good job of that. So a couple things I'm going to say real quick before we hop into the questions. So Felicia, what she did not mention, she's also a podcaster of this amazing podcast called For His Glory Speaks. And it's so authentic. Like, okay, so Felicia is like straight up 10 toes down. I want to say hood because
Listen, she is hood.
But when I say that, I don't mean to say like ratchet, but in the sense that I think we all have a little bit of ratchetness, but just like the loyalty that people she just portrays that she gives that off. And so when she says she definitely walks out relationship with people, that loyalty in that relationship definitely shows. And it just oozes from like her relationship with God, because her perspective, her love for God, her ability to listen, like all of those things are just who she is. So I hope that y'all get to experience that a little bit in this podcast. But I want her to share her testimony with you all and just kind of how this started for her, because she talks about God. Okay, so when I first met her, she talked. She associated God as daddy. And I was like, that was the first time I ever heard that be described. Like, y'all know, y'all heard me call God bruh and main and all of that. But I ain't never called him daddy, like daddy, okay? And so one, I want you to talk about that. But two, I want you to give a little bit of background on just your relationship with God and just kind of how that has grown over the last couple of years as you've kind of basically exited out of religionship. And you can kind of talk about that too.
For sure, for sure. So I grew up in church. My grandfather, I was raised by my grandparents. Long story short, my mom died when I was 9. My dad at the age of 15, I didn't know my dad, my earthly dad. At the age of 15, he looked me in my face and told me I wasn't his. So I know all about abandonment. I know about being an orphan. I know about rejection. I know about it all, right? And so I was raised by my grandparents. I am truly a granny's baby, even when my mom was alive, definitely a granny's baby. But when it came to a relationship with my grandfather, we just had a lot of friction. And I couldn't understand why. And I knew that even as a child, it was something different about this relationship with this man versus this relationship with this woman. And so I really wanted to understand that, but I didn't know how to pursue that. And so because of that, I just did the work in regards to making sure the house is clean, you know, making sure I'm clean, like making sure that I can stay less visible as possible, because I felt like I was always, quote unquote, like in the way. Like literally when we would walk down the hallway in our house, and let's just say I'm coming out of my room going towards their room and he's coming out of his room coming towards my room, I would literally stop in my tracks and go around so that we would not pass each other in the hallway. And so for me, relationship with men started very obscured, very, very early on. Now, mind you, this is as a child. So again, at the age of 15, when my dad looks at me, my earthly dad looks at me and he's like pumping his hand in his fist like, fam, I got papers to prove you ain't mine. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, what do I do with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we get here? And so going to church, knowing about God, knowing about Jesus, learning about Holy Spirit to the best of their ability and things of that nature. Like, how is all this going to mesh well? How is all this going to work together for my good, as the Bible says? And so I rebelled. I did my own thing. I began to live life. I did me, if you will, like she was out there doing her thug thistle. Okay. So, and so there was just this point in my life where honestly, rising, like, I was like, I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm tired of going in the same old hamster wheel, being on that same hamster wheel, just going around the same mountain. Like, we need to be more to life than just existing through life, yeah, or coasting.
Kind of like what you like you searching for something, but you can't find it.
And you don't even know what you're searching for.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know you're looking for something, but what am I looking for? It's one thing to say, oh, I put on my left shoe and I'm looking for my right shoe. But what happens when I have both shoes on and I'm fully dressed and I still feel like there's something missing? You know what I'm saying? And so that just began my conquest of, I didn't realize that it was seek the Lord and you'll find him. But like, I was just like, listen, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, like, something got to give. And so there was this one time in regards to how relationship came. I was in my car and I was jamming. Girl, she had some tens. So we was jamming. And and so I had my radio up loud. And in that part of my life, like, I was in religion heavily. Like, everything I did was performance-based. Everything I did was, honestly, was prideful. Everything I did was based on, I want you to see me versus I want you to really know me. You know what I'm saying? I want you to really meet me where I am. And so because of that struggle, if I was sin, like, y'all, if I had sex, I was like, I ain't having sex no more, and I'm gonna be on this straight and narrow, and, you know what I'm saying, like, I ain't gonna lie no more, I ain't gonna cheat no more. Like, it was all of these other things, and it was me trying to do it in my own work or in my own strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And so when I got tired of even that, you know what I'm saying, like, it just became this point of, okay, where do we go? And so I was driving in my car, came to a red light, and I'll never forget it, clear as day, was nobody in this car but me, flesh, in the flesh, just me. In the spirit, it was me, my daddy, his son, and his spirit. You hear me? And what Holy Spirit said to me was, I'm calling my people out of relationship into relationship. I was like, okay. What does that mean? Rosalyn, y'all, he didn't answer my question. We literally began to walk on a journey. And the more questions I asked, that's when I realized for Felicia in my relationship with my daddy that he doesn't mind me asking him questions as long as my heart posture is to ask questions for the knowledge and not to ask questions in regards to questioning his authority. Because there are some times when we ask questions and he just blatantly does not ask questions. Number one, for me, it's because I'm asking the wrong question, right? Number two, is my heart posture right? And then number three, it's not for me to answer right now, or you're not ready for that answer right now. And so as we began to walk out relationship and walk into relationship, that's when I realized that, man, I've had this completely wrong for the entire quote unquote relationship that I've been in prior to where I am now. And so relationship is literally a word that Holy Spirit gave me. I'm smart, y'all, but I ain't that smart.
Girl, and I think to give my own perspective of relationship, I don't think I really realized how much I was in religion until I went to counseling. And what happened was, to give language to that, was God allowed me to dismantle who I thought he was before my eyes. And what I realized was that so much of who I thought God was trapped under other people's perspective. Shame. So like growing up, like people saying you shouldn't do this, you should or shouldn't do that, and if you do this then God, you know, this. And it was tied under a lot of pain of rejection from my own earthly father, and you know, seeing my parents kind of in their relationship growing up. So my perspective of him was so unhealthy that, like you said, if I sinned, I went on this, my resolve was, okay, in order to get back right, I gotta not do all these things in order to be back in a good place with God. But that just wasn't, it was no freedom there. There was no authenticity. There was no, God, I'm coming to you as like completely naked and under shame. Like, there was none of that. And I think that was hard for me. And I think that's hard for many people when it comes to like understanding relationship with God. Which I know you could talk about, but just there's a real authentic exposure. You see, and what's interesting is God allows you to see it, but he lets you see all of it like all your flaws to show you that he's the only one that can fix any of it. And so going into like how that process was for you, what was the journey like to then see yourself before the Father and then get comfortable with being being just exposed before him?
So I think for me, practically, because again, I grew up in church. And so I grew up knowing Bible stories. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna say I was just like this guru of scripture. But I grew up knowing certain Bible stories, right? And so there's this one particular scripture that was just like hitting me so hard. I'm talking so hard. And I was like, okay, let's understand this. Like, let's go deeper. I don't even know what deep looks like, you know what I'm saying? But it has to be more exposure to this. And the story was the story about the prodigal son. And so the Bible says that he asked to leave his father's house. Number one, he went and said, give me my inheritance. That boy didn't ask. He demanded it. You know what I'm saying? And so in that, he had already had a preconceived notion of, I'm going to take this and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be this person. I'm going to take this. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do whatever I want to do with it. And so because he took what he thought was his, even though it was his, but the timing wasn't right. Because back in those days, of course, like you don't get your inheritance until your father or your mother or whomever passes. And so basically this boy is telling his daddy, I wish you was dead because mm-hmm. I want what, you know what I'm saying? I can't get right now because you're still alive. So because you're still here, just give it to me. You know what I'm saying? And so looking at it from that perspective, and then as things began to go forward, the Bible says that he was in a hog pen and he was eating slop. You know what I'm saying? Like he was eating slop. And that's when everything began to like really come to terms for me and just really take shape. Excuse me. It began to really take shape because the Bible says that he came to himself. Let me say that again. The Bible says that he, the prodigal son, came to himself. So that lets me know that in order for this to work, I have to come to myself. A lot of people say it starts with God.
Girl, that's a whole word. I can't. Come on. I can't process that right now.
Is right because everybody, every person will say
it. What that's saying is that I got to make a decision to go back.
Come on here, because that's what he had to do. But he only had the notion of what that decision could possibly look like when he was at his lowest, because it wasn't when he was out here and everything was going right. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't when he was out here and he was, living it up and doing whatever that was, you know what I'm saying? But it was at that point of the lowest of lows that I'm looking at the place where I quote unquote work and I'm working just for work's sake. Come on, Holy Spirit. I'm working just for work's sake, but I'm not receiving what I need. I'm not getting the money that I need in order to go and eat correctly. I'm not getting the money that I need in order to not be under the same shelter as these hog pens or these hogs. I'm not getting the right money, you know what I'm saying, to get what I need in order to not necessarily have to drink out of the same water that these hogs are drinking from. So I'm working for the sake of works. And the works that I'm doing ain't getting me nowhere. It's literally keeping me in the space where I am to say that I'm in this space. Why do I have to be here? So the Bible says that when he came to himself, he said, hold on. Even the servants at my father's house eat better than this. And they servants. So I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to repent. You understand me? And I'm going to just ask him to be a servant. At this point, you ain't even got to recognize me as your child, as your son. Like, I just want to be a servant because you treat your servants better than these people out here are treating me. And so for Felicia, I had to come to myself. God, no matter how much my father, no matter how much my daddy, Rosalind, would try to force feed me the food that he was trying to give me, I was good eating a slop. Until I came to myself and realized I don't have to eat this. I don't have to eat this. And so what does that now look like, Daddy? Help me to now understand that now I'm in this space and I've come to myself. Now what that looks like now, practically, that looks like taking everything back to my daddy. Okay. I've done adultery, father. I've been in lesbian relationships, daddy. I've been mad at you. I've been so angry at you. You know, I'm rejected. I've been an orphan. I feel ostracized. I feel like people don't understand me. I feel like you gave me this heart and I don't even want this heart because I'm sick of this heart because this heart gets me in trouble. Like everything that I did not want to recognize or realize or receive that God had given me in regards to my heart posture, in regards to humility. Like I had to take all of that before him. Do you hear me? All of it. When I didn't want to talk to him, when I didn't have words to say, I had to take that back to my daddy. That's the vulnerability. But it started with me.
And I think that's the part that's important. I think, and that's what I preached that to my blue in the faces. That's the part that matters. And that's the ticket in my, this ticket is the key. It's the starting place of freedom and no longer being in bondage. Is taking all the, because all those lists you gave, those were things you had to give to God. But also too, it was a point of realizing like, these are the things that have caused me to want to be separated from you. These are the things that have caused me to not authentically let you see me. And I think that's the part where it's like, we want to create this perfect situation or perfect scenario to go to God or perfect. Or, and I was talking about this on my last podcast, like we compare our relationship with God to other people's relationship. We see them on fire. We see them doing stuff and we see what they're doing. We see how they're moving and jiving. And we almost compare ourselves and say, because I'm not like that, I don't have a relationship with God. And that's just one that's not true. That's like a lie and trick of the enemy to keep you in comparison and keep you trapped in all of those things and paint a picture in your mind of who God is, like of rejection, that he's gonna reject you because you're not like this. But we have to get to a place genuinely where we're authentic and ugly and 100% vulnerable before the Father. And I think that's what God wants. And so when I hear you say, Holy Spirit saying, I'm taking my people out of relationship, it's the process of dismantling who we think God is or who the Pharisees were and how they were prideful and walked around thinking they had it all together, but they really didn't have jack. And they had the Son of Man standing before them and they couldn't even recognize him. Like it's, I'm walking you out of the place of where you, who you think I am and showing you who I really am. And that becomes... That's the journey that is honestly lifetime. Like, absolutely. I don't think we ever get, I truly in my mind, and you know, I don't know because I'm real young, sis. I truly don't think that we ever get past, let me not say that. I don't think we just have moments where we're like, we realize, oh, I'm operating in religion and I got to go back to the Father. Just constantly reminded of, I'm flesh. I'm broken. I need my Father. He is the one. Mm-hmm. And being okay with doing that. There's never I've arrived moment. There are seasons even now for me where I'm like, even now I'm like, God, I'm tired. I don't feel it, Lord. I don't feel it. But then it's like this comfort of, but I still love you and you're my daughter. And I don't question him in that because it's like, I recognize that there are just different moments for different things, but just not feeling shameful of just being in a place. You know what I'm saying? Listen, being on a journey.
It's so good. And you dropped so many nuggets. And as you were talking, one of the things that I was reminded of and the vision that I got was Jesus been in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was about to be betrayed, but before men, right? The Bible talked about Jesus going to pray so many other times prior to this prayer, right? But in this particular time, in this particular season, in this particular stage, at this particular precipice of his life, the Bible says he prayed so hard that he was sweating blood. So does that not mean that he wasn't praying just as hard back in the other seasons where he wasn't sweating blood? No. It's literally the fact that where he was in relationship with the Father, that was the moment that he was in. Those were the prayers that needed to be prayed. And he did what he was supposed to do. Now we've transitioned into what this is now about to look like. So I have to pray a little bit harder. And because I know what I'm about to face, there are things that's now going to protrude from me, right? It's some things that's going to come up off of me. You're going to visually be able to see that I am in anguish. The Bible says that he was in anguish. And so because of this.
Actually, not to interrupt you, that's real condition. And what happens is you're in so much, I don't know what it's called, I got to look it up, but you're in so much agony. Mm-hmm. And mental stress and pain. Because we have to remember that Jesus was whole man. He was all man. He was all flesh.
His deity wasn't there. Yeah.
And literally, it's a physical reaction to agony and pain. So much so that your blood vessels pop. And you begin to sweat blood instead of sweat. And it's literally from stress and agony. So the fact that he was processing the fact that I have to now be betrayed for the people to die on a cross, knowing I'm very innocent, completely innocent, and having to process that and become okay with it, but then pray and say, God, please take this from me. But if you can't take it from me, let your will be done. Like in your mind, having to make that decision.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's, like you said, it's a journey, it's a transition, it's all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, you know, what was it like for you to have to be open with God? I know that's a very loaded question.
You know what I'm saying? Pop, 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 pop. But so I think for me,
and I'll say this real quick. Like for me, I had no choice. Like I legit was like, let me say this. I don't think I had choice. Let me say, I did have choice. But I think for me was, I had no idea that my therapy journey was going to become God dismantling. So when I'm beginning to process things and talk about things that are super ugly, and I begin to have these moments of understanding like, oh, you really are for me, or, oh, I really am yours. And I'm comforted, but I'm also like, real scared at the same time of like sharing these ugly, like, I remember there was a session where my therapist and I were talking about me and my mom and our relationship and just kind of how it was really unhealthy in the sense we were just so entangled emotionally because of all the stuff that happened when I was growing up. And I remember I felt so guilty about sharing it, but also I realized I had such an epiphany of what God did during that time and how he kept me close to him. And I just was like, I was comforted, but I also was like scared because I'm like, I'm having to address something that's so ugly, but yet I feel so free. Wow, like what is this euphoria, Lord? Like, help me understand. So when I said I don't have choice, it was almost like I began to see the real comfort and love of God that I wanted more of it. So it was like, I began to chase the pain or chase the ugly stuff or chase what more is there of me that needs to be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
As uncomfortable as it is, expose me to me, Lord, so that I can be able to lay this down to you. And so like for you, how did you get comfortable even in listing all those things you listed? How did you become comfortable with being open with the Father?
So it's interesting because I think that number one, no matter what sin you're in, you're never 100% comfortable. You know what I mean? Like there's something in you that's like, there's just that little something that, you know, won't allow you to get super comfortable. And by saying there's something, before I had language, I thought it was a something. Now I know it's a someone, you know what I'm saying? And so practically, regarding same-sex relationships, like who wants to talk about that? You know what I'm saying? Why? Because number one, the church will say that's the sin of all sins. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the Bible talks about, you know, adultery. The Bible talks about drunkenness. The Bible talks about fornication. The Bible talks about lewdness.
Pride.
You know, come on, pride. Come
lying.
On here. Lying. You know, so, but when you talk about same-sex relationships, that is the very thing that churches will, you know, push you away. You know what I'm saying? They say you're not wanted, or they'll reject you in regards to that. Why? Because either A, they've dealt with it themselves and they haven't come to the conclusion or the agreement or the knowledge of knowing that God will use even that to help other people. B, you know,
Felicia,
what I'm
please don't make me, please don't make me throw this computer.
Come on here. Cause we're going to talk about it. Or B, that, you know, they truly don't understand. They have turned a blind eye, if you will. And because that's not their particular sin, they don't want to even help with, helping somebody to come out of that sin. Right. But you could be the pastor and you struggle with pornography, or you struggle with beating your wife, or you struggle with taking money out the church. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are all these other different avenues. And so for me, I literally was like, your word says, David says, if I go to the mountains, you are there. If I go to the valley, you are there. If I go to hell and make my bed, you even there. So there's nothing that I can do that you don't already know. So because you already know it, now help me to expose it to you, which you already know. So by doing that, empower me to open my mouth to say, or to write it out to say, hey, this is what I do. I don't like it, but this is what I do. I don't know why I do it, but this is what I do. I don't know why this is attractive to me, but this is what I like. I don't know why I choose to go left when you tell me to go right, but I'm always going left instead of right. I don't know why I slow down when you tell me to press the gas. I don't know why I stop when you tell me to go. I don't know why I retract back when you are calling me forward. I don't know why that all these things keep coming in my head when I pray. Every time I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about sex. Every time I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about him. Every time I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about her. I don't know why all these things are in my sphere of influence, but I know that you know. So because you know, help me to know so that we can no longer do this. And if this happens to be the thorn in my side, teach me for real that your word says that your grace is sufficient for me, even with this. So what does that look like? So as you begin, as I begin,
But I want to ask you too, how did God react to you? Like, I know that's what you're going to say, but like, how did God react to you being authentic with him about that?
He loved me. He loved me in a way that I was ready for him to, like, listen, let me just be super real. I am so hood. I'm hood, y'all. But like, I didn't get those hood whoopings. I never got a whooping with an extension cord. You know what I'm saying? An extension cord. Nah, girl, she never did. Like, I just, I grew up in the hood, but there were just certain things. I'm green. Like, I'm super green to be a hood chick, if that makes sense. And so I'm okay with that. Like, I'm cool with that. So there was like this moments where I'm thinking like, legit, God finna just straight up just backhand me, like, bye y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, he finna just pop me all in my mouth because of the words that I'm saying, right? The language that I'm using, because again, it wasn't church vernacular. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't church dialect. Like, I'm literally saying daddy or father, because I think I was saying father and God at that time. Like, father, help me to understand. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like this. I don't understand why you created me to be this person. Like, I can't stand the fact that you gave me this type of heart, but people are just dropping it, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Like, black in my heart. Like, there were just so many things that I was sick of, and I was sick of them tormenting my mental to the point where I had to get them out. And because I come from a family who does not, quote unquote, communicate, communication was not what I was going to be able to do with the people around me. So where do I find solace? Where do I find comfort? Where do I find healing? You know what I'm saying? We sure wasn't talking about therapy, Rosalind. Like, straight up, therapy? Who? Girl, you better go off in there and pray and eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was never a real thing, if you will. And so one of the things that my daddy gave me was writing. So, Rosalind, I would write everything to him. Everything. If it was a question, Rosalind, I would write it. If it was the way I felt, Rosalind, I would write it. If it was, I'm just grateful, I would write it. If it was just Jesus on the paper, literally, J-E-S-U-S I would write it because it was literally where I was at that particular time. And I needed him to show me he was God. I needed him to show up, not for signs and wonders, but for true relationship with Felicia, because I was sick of religion. I was sick of religion. Religion wasn't getting me anywhere. Religion had me on a hamster wheel. I was sick of it. I had to have relationship, and I needed him to dismantle all the relationships prior to him. You know what I'm saying? So that when we were in this relationship, you can't tell me, they can't tell me, he can't tell me, she can't tell me that I don't walk with my daddy, that my daddy don't know me. You can't tell me that, because he do know me. And not only do I know him, but he knows me. And it's a great thing to know that I know that my daddy know me. When I open my mouth, he's not saying, oh, that's Rosalind. He's like, that's my baby Felicia. You understand me? Like, when I pray, he's not like, oh, I think that was Chanel. Like, nah, fam, that's my baby Felicia. Like, he's not looking for me. Come on, Holy Spirit. He's not looking for me to sound like, be like, act like, think like, talk like, speak like anybody else except for who he already knew I was going to be.
Listen, listen. And I think you said so many things, and I definitely want to like give language to even tying in a mental health perspective. I think we search so long for our identity. We search so long for this finding of who we are. We search so long for this understanding of the trauma we've experienced. Like, you laid out rejection, you laid out scenes that the church was just literally blackball, you laid out all these things. And at the end of the day, and all those factors, we're impacted by those. We're impacted by that. And we don't realize that God wants space in those areas to bring about comfort, love. Like you said, God loved me through that. And I think that we don't realize that that's what we're looking for. Like, we're looking for love. We're looking for acceptance. We're looking for a space to be ourselves. We're looking for not trying to have all these titles and expectations, especially knowing that majority of my audience is African-American women. He's not looking to be the one that, you know, just is kind of put on the shelf when you decide to pick him up. Like, no, he wants to take residence in all of those areas. But I think because we think we have to be a certain way when we come to him, like Felicia, you know, I'm sitting here with you with a nice little silk press, sis. Okay. You got this smartphone, sis. And we can't say that because I got a silk press, you know, and you got this scarf on, i.e. that God don't love us equally.
Come on.
And I think because the world has painted this comparison and has put God in a place where it's like, it doesn't become personal. It doesn't become valuable. It doesn't become,
that's good.
It becomes about what you have to do, that we don't get to really just be and experience and experience what it looks like to be one stripped, because stripping isn't fun, baby. Right. Stripping isn't fun. Mm-mm. It's necessary, but it's not fun. But I don't stop. I really declare and decree over you, like, don't stop at it's not fun, because you don't realize the other side of that. Like, Felicia, I think that was like a 2-year process you were telling me. Was that like 2 years?
Oh, girl, that was, it started in, no, it's been, man, it's been like four. It's been four. Okay. So it started in 2016. Yeah. Yeah. 2016.
And so 4 years of having to just, and to think like, sis, 4 years out of so many years of thinking we know who God is.
Come on here.
And then having like a true Saul turned to Paul Damascus moment where he turns us back to him fully is like, it's just, it to me, it makes me think of, I truly thought I knew you and I ain't really know Jack. I ain't know Jack. And so I think how
what would you say if you were describing the difference of relationship and relationship in a way that would make somebody want to come? What would you kind of tell them?
I would say that number one, it's so worth it. You understand? Like, it's so, so worth it. It's so worth the frustration. It's so worth the trial. It's so worth the ill journey. You know what I'm saying? I think that for me, because I never knew what that looked like, because I never experienced that around me, that I thought I was literally going down a hill, not realizing that what I was exchanging was literally taking me up the hill. So if you can, my favorite meme is where this little girl, it's this little cartoon, it's this little girl who has this teddy bear, and she's holding on to this teddy bear, and Jesus is in front of her, and she's like, but, and she's just squeezing it, and she's crying, because she's like, but I love it. But she does not see that Jesus has this big old bear behind him that is so much bigger than what you're offering him, right? So the exchange, if we're being honest, it's not fair by far, but it's so good, and it's so beautiful to our Father's sight, because he wants our little bit to give us the more. So when I'm thinking of relationship, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm giving you this little bit and you're going to give me relationship. And here I am thinking I'm good, but realizing that I was so far from you. I thought I knew you. And that's the definition that the Holy Spirit gave me in regards to relationship. It is, knowing God from afar, but never entering into his presence. So when you think of that, literally, like you said about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they literally was in the presence of our Savior and did not experience what he could have done for them. But they knew God from afar. They could tell you the laws. They could tell you what not to do on the Sabbath. They could tell you it's not lawful for you to do this. It's not lawful for that. It's not. They could tell you all the rules, but they could not identify relationship. When relationship, come on, Holy Spirit, was walking the earth for them. When relationship walked the earth for me, when relationship walked the earth for Riza, when relationship walked the earth for you, they could not explain what relationship looked like, but they could tell you the rules, but they couldn't tell you the relationship. So what I would say is that it's worth it. It's worth all the dismantling. It's worth all the uncomfort. It's worth you relearning or learning what this is going to look like. Like, he is so, so worth it. So worth it.
And so I want to tag on one more thing before we close. And I think this was hard for me because I didn't realize a couple things. One, how much, when the dismantling occurred, God loving me through the process, but also correcting me. And baby, now I've gotten to the point where I'm like fully okay with being corrected. And I think I want to address the difference between conviction and condemnation, because you give it in a very good way to explain it. Because I did not realize that I was struggling with knowing when God was correcting me. Because even now, the way that he corrects me is so loving. Like, I just can't even describe it. It's so like I'm getting a whooping, but baby, he does it so loving that it's like I want to do better. So like, he'll expose something in my heart that's like, this is what you're doing. And he'll tell me like why you're doing it, or like this is where it started, or this was the root of the issue, or this was the trigger, or whatever like that. And I look and I'm like, God, how did I even get this far away? Like, what was going on? Like, what happened? And then when he brings like the understanding to me and then shows me scripture, I'm like, Father, I didn't know. And so, but before, if God tried to bring correction, I would immediately run away. I would just be like, you don't love me. You're only doing this to hurt me. You're only like making me feel bad. You don't care about me. And I would run away. Instead of understanding like a parental relationship, they correct you out of them having the wisdom and understanding. So I think the very big thing and why I talk about shame so much, and shame to me ties like a lot of the condemnation piece, but really more so like how do we know the difference between conviction and condemnation?
So you talking about me, but you be dropping so many nuggets, y'all. I hope y'all get me. Listen, I hope y'all picking up these nuggets that she is dropping, because baby girl. But immediately when you began to speak in regards to the correction, I immediately thought about Adam and Eve. Immediately I thought about Adam and Eve. The Bible says that when Eve gave Adam the fruit, the Bible says that as soon as he took the bite, that's when sin entered the world. We ain't gonna go there. We ain't gonna go there, but that's what the Bible says. Okay. So as we move forward, the Bible says that God literally began to walk again throughout the garden, and he called out to Adam, "Where are you?" Not because God didn't know where he was, not because I don't even necessarily think it was because God didn't necessarily just recognize him in a sense of recognition, but it was because he wanted Adam to expose what he had done. Come on, Holy Spirit, revelation, come on here. He wanted Adam to expose what he had done. And so when Adam, you know, said, "Here I am," and then God said, you know, "What's been going on," and things of that nature, and they began to literally, they had a conversation. The Bible didn't say that he went in and said, "Hey man, why you got these fig leaves on?" No, the Bible says he began to ask this man questions. Again, giving him opportunity to expose himself. That lets me know that God is not in the business of just quickly exposing what we can already tell him. Come on here. He is not wanting to say, "Well, Felicia, you struggled with homosexuality, and that's all you're going to ever struggle with." Like,
can I pause you?
Please.
Not even that, but he literally did not provide the curse until after he asked him all the questions. What if Adam and Eve told the truth?
Come
what
on here.
I ate the fruit. They did all this blame game stuff and then got cursed. Now, he was true to his word and said, "You eat of this fruit, you will be cursed." But just thinking of that in the sense of so much of my confession now, when since Jesus has came, when I confess my sins, the Bible says I'm forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
What if we just literally, when we are sitting with the Father or we do sin, we confess and said, "This sin was good to me, God, and I don't know why. And I'm really sorry, Father, and I repent and I want your forgiveness."
Yeah.
And then we come back to a point of, but instead we go and stay in condemnation. We stay in the place of beating ourselves up, allowing the enemy to beat us up, allowing that condemnation to be the picture of we think who God, how God looks at us, instead of understanding that God's desire is to draw us to him.
Absolutely.
So why would he use something to keep us so away instead of pushing us to him?
Because that's not his heart. Because that right there literally is the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation will have you in a place of torment where you're in your head and all you can do is think about what you've done, how bad you are, how horrible of a person you are, how many times you've done it, the fact that you did it 5 times on Sunday, like the fact that you did it 12 times on Monday. Like, all you can do is constantly torment. You're in this constant state of being tormented regarding what was happening or what has happened. You don't get a place of an escape. But with conviction, the Lord will show you, "Hey, this is what you did." You know what I'm saying? "This is what you did. This is not who you are, but this is your action." You know what I'm saying? And because this is your action, now I'm going to show you how to get out of it. Now I'm going to show you how to put some boundaries in place. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I'm going to show you how to readily identify that before it comes at you. Now I'm going to show you strategy on how to say abort, abort. Like, this is not the way for me to go, versus being in your head stuck. And all you can do is mope. All you can do is cry. All you can do is, you know, wallow. All you can do is feel the sadness. Like, yeah, you'll feel the sadness of knowing that you've hurt the Father, but he will lovingly correct you and pull you back to him. Condemnation, in layman's terms, condemnation pushes you further away from the Father. Conviction draws you back closer to him.
Amen. That was good. That was real good. So that was all I really wanted to say. I did want to tie one more point of relationships with others as you were going through this process, because for me, I did not realize who I was with people, but I also didn't realize how much people were to me.
Mm-hmm.
And God had to strip me of a lot of relationships that were not the best. Mm-hmm.
And so how did you deal with that? Because I think relationships ties hugely into the way people like begin their process for of sure. really building a relationship with God. So how did you kind of deal with that?
So one of the things that I do when I'm going through anything, like especially when I'm in that space of, okay, I've never been here before, like I will self-isolate. You understand? Like I will go into my little corner in my own little chair and I'll be like, okay, God, it's me and you. Let's do this. You know what I'm saying? Like my ears are open. My heart is open. I'm receptive to what you're saying. I'm receptive to what you want to do. I just want to make sure I pass this test the first time. And that's something that I still to this day struggle with. And I still to this day, you know, have to be very, very, very intentional about, because that's a default of who I am, right? Like it's quick for me to isolate and to be in my head and things like that. And so for me, I was in a space where I didn't really have a lot of people around me anyway. So it wasn't like this big grand finale of, hey, I'm going on this journey with the Lord. I'll see you next year. Like I really didn't necessarily have to do that. And the people who know me, they know, I think God has given them a glimpse of my heart enough to know that like, when I am in this space, because at that time I was learning language. I didn't know the language. So in that space, like they were honest enough to say, hey, I've been missing you. What's up? You know what I'm saying? And that gave opportunity and that gave freedom to just talk about what I'm going through. But a lot of them saw it. So a lot of the people that were around me, for instance, my family, my grandparents, my sister, my brothers, they saw it and they saw the change. So they saw that I have my Bible more. I'm quoting more scripture. I was never a cusser, so I wasn't cursing, but they saw that, you know, I'm not taking as many shots as I probably would have. You know what I'm saying? They saw that I don't always want to go to the club. You know what I'm saying? They saw that I, even if we went to the club Saturday and we got in at 4, come 9:30, 10 o'clock, she up and she getting ready to go to church in the morning. You know what I'm saying? And I'm asking, do y'all want to come? So they began to see the shift in me. However, they didn't necessarily, a lot of people weren't on board with it because at that point or that place in my life, they considered me to be like a holy roller. They considered me to be somebody that I necessarily wasn't, or that I was still working out the kinks, trying to figure out who I really am and what that looks like. Again, a healthy balance. And so a lot of people, they dismissed themselves. I didn't have to. It was just the mere fact that I was going this way, and they were choosing to go another way. Don't knock it, not tripping. You know what I'm saying? I just knew I had to do it, Roslyn, for me. I had to, because like you said earlier, in a sense, I had a choice, but I didn't have a choice, because I knew even when I was in relationship with my father, that this wasn't it. So now that I'm walking into a relationship with him, and now I'm starting to feel free about who I am and what our relationship looks like, and I'm starting to feel confident about, you made me for this particular purpose, or you made me to identify with other people, or you made me for your glory. Like, I like this. I don't have a mask on with you. You know what I'm saying? Or the mask that I do have on, as you begin to expose that joker, we taking it off. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, A, I didn't really have a big circle. B, people began to, you know, remove themselves. And then C, I just knew that this is what I wanted. This is what I needed. This is what I was missing. And D, not to mention that everything that happened, it's now trickled down to how I treat people, how I commune with people, how I talk to people, how I relate to people. You know what I'm saying? So everything that I went through in regards to my relationship with my father and the effects that it may have had on other people was absolutely worth it, because number one, I'm in relationship with my daddy. But number two, I now know how to cherish relationship with his creation. So
that's good.
God be the glory.
Drops mic. Well, we're going to wrap up here, sis. This was bomb. So I'm going to attach all of Felicia's information. She has a bomb podcast, a bomb community group that's free that you should be a part of. And it's called What's That?
Relationship Goals.
So she like talks about all things relationship with God, and you just definitely should be a part of it. So I will link all the information below. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact her. And I love y'all, and we will talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.